The message today is entitled, My Way, His Way. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or he tells the truth. And I believe Jesus is not only telling the truth, but he is absolute truth. He is the truth. I believe this about Jesus with all my heart. I do not believe in Baptist, Pentecostalism, Catholicism. I believe in Jesus. And I believe that so much of what man has made in Christianity today has divided us. And so I say that as God has given you a mind, a body, and a soul, and he's given you the Spirit of God to understand the scriptures, that you must seek him for yourself. And just because I preach and I say some things up here at this pulpit and I read scripture, you know, you still have to evaluate those things and you still have to seek God for yourself. What I'm saying is that we who claim to be Christians, who claim to be followers of Jesus, I believe that that is what we must be, followers of Jesus, followers of the written word of God. And we must be willing to break away from all of family traditions, all of cultural traditions, all of what society says, and say, Holy Spirit, I'm following the Lord Jesus. Lead me. And if you come to him with that attitude, then the Lord will lead you. And you're going to understand it. He'll probably lead you out of certain churches. He'll probably lead you out of lifestyles. He'll lead you out of things that have been keeping you in bondage for many, many years. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. 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 See, as a Christian, we're on our way to heaven. Glory. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. We're on our way to heaven. And we can no longer live the way we used to live before the cross of Jesus. And so now that we're at the cross, there is so much to learn. There is so much to absorb, so to speak. And Jesus is the way, he's the truth, and he is the life. I believe that all of our questions are found in Jesus. All of our hope is found in Jesus. All of our peace is found in Jesus. It's found in the written word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. In John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is God. And God has revealed himself in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I believe that right now, at this very moment, we have to make a decision, my way or his way. Amen. I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm here to tell you what the Bible says. And I pray that you have a desire to hear what the Bible says too. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 24 through 26, I'm not going to read it just yet, but I'm going to set this up. We can claim to follow Jesus. We can even carry our cross and yet still not follow Jesus. Let me say that again. You can carry your cross and still not follow Jesus. You can carry your cross and still not follow Jesus. You do have a cross to carry. What is that cross? It's your testimony. Jesus said, if anyone wants to follow me, he must humble himself, pick up his cross or her cross, and follow me daily. That's what Jesus says. And that cross is your testimony. It's what you can bear evidence of you walking with Jesus. You know, Jesus says that their lips honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. And there are so many people that give lip service to Jesus in the churches today. See, I'm not talking about unbelievers because what do you expect? That they don't know Christ. But the Bible says that judgment begins in the house of God. And today the society is messed up. You want to know why? Because the churches are messed up. Because the pulpit is messed up. Because there's so many other agendas going on. So much other kingdoms are being built other than the kingdom of God. And this is sad because Jesus paid way too high a price for us to build upon another foundation. His foundation will be the only one that lasts, that endures. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall remain forever. Hallelujah. Now, we can think that we are following Jesus, and we're really not. Because Jesus says, There will be those on the left who will say to me, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we heal in your name? And Jesus will say, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Depart from me. Go into the fire prepared for Satan and his angels. This may be the last time you ever hear the word of Jesus and have an opportunity to respond to it. There are some of you that are sitting at home watching online right now. You belong in church. You belong in the body of Christ. You're to be a building block, not a stumbling block. I thank God that you're watching, but you need to be a part of something that is bigger than yourself. Amen. Amen. Go to church. Be a part of the church. There is no perfect church. If there was a perfect church, you and I would go and we'd mess it all up. There is no perfect church. So go as iron sharpens iron and make a difference. Leave a legacy that brings glory to Jesus Christ. Now, Moses was called by God to go and to tell Pharaoh to let the people of God go. The Israelites, the Hebrews. They had been in bondage and slavery for over 400 years. And Moses came up with 9 excuses. 9 times Moses said, Lord, no, not me. Somebody else. Please, Lord. No, Lord. No, not me. Is there anybody? He kept saying these excuses. And finally, the will of the Lord prevailed. And Moses said, okay, I'll go. And the Lord said, I'm going to send Aaron, your brother. He's going to go and help you. I'm not going to let you do this on your own. And so Moses has the word. He had been in a 40-year-old man in Egypt, and he had to flee from Egypt because he had killed somebody. And he was in the wilderness in Midian, the plains of Midian, for 40 years, 80 years old. He had been away from God for 40 years. He had forgotten his lineage. He had forgotten the tradition that had been taught from Abraham, Isaac, to Jacob. He had forgotten all of that. Because we're going to see this in just a moment. But he had forgotten all of that. He forgot of his own people. He was like, I'm just going to live out the rest of my days in this area, and that's it. And you know the story. God called him. God called him in the burning bush. And the Lord and Moses responded to the Lord. And Moses says, okay, after much debate, I'll go. And so Moses gets his family together. He's on his way to Egypt. And this is where the story picks up in Exodus 4, chapter 24 through 26. It says, and it came to pass on the way at the encampment that the Lord met him, Moses, and sought to kill him. Moses was on his way to Egypt with his family. He was doing what God told him to do. But yet something happened and God said, no, I'm going to end your life. You see, what we fail to understand is that he gives and he takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Who said that? Job. Job said that. Job said, he gives and he takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Job had lost his children, his livelihood, his wealth. And his wife was saying, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job said, you woman, you talk of the foolish people. And Job said, he gives and he takes away, but bless his name. And the Bible says, and in doing this, Job did not sin. As Moses is along his way, the Lord says, no, I'm going to put your life to an end. I can take it. I'm give and I can take. I have the authority. I have the power. Jesus says, I have the power. I have the authority to lay my life down and to raise it back up. In verse 25, then Moses' wife, Zipporah, she took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at Moses' feet and said, surely you are a husband of blood to me. So he, God, let him, Moses, go. Then she said, you are a husband of blood because of the circumcision. God was going to end the life of Moses. Why? Because Moses was dishonoring the command of God. The command was given to Abraham, passed through to Isaac and to Jacob. And Moses was in the lineage of these men. And God had told Abraham, from here on out, all of your males will be circumcised on the 8th day. All of your males, they'll be circumcised. That was the covenant that God had with the people of God at that time. That was the covenant to be honored. Now here's Moses. 40 years away from that life of being a Hebrew. And at 80 years old, he's married. He has a child. We don't really know how old this child is. But as Moses gets the call to go back to Egypt, he does it. Somewhere in between the Bible, the scriptures, Moses is supposed to circumcise his son, because it was commanded by God that that was a sign of the covenant with God's people. How is it that Moses, who would be the lawgiver, is not actually honoring the law himself? If Moses is actually going back to the Hebrews and telling and bringing them the law of Moses, you know, the Ten Commandments, and telling them to remind them of what God had said through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but yet his own house is not in order, how could that be? It would that God does not operate that way. So how does that apply to us today? Well, let's still look at this. His wife was forced to do this. That's why she was angry. That's why she did she cut the foreskin off of her son and she threw it at the feet of Moses. What a lot of people don't understand is that if the father is too sick to do this himself, that it is supposed to be done to the child, and the foreskin is supposed to be brought as evidence to the feet of the father. Look, in the book of Acts, when people were buying and selling their homes and giving their homes away, watch this, when they were buying and selling their land and homes and bringing all the money, they were what? Laying it at the feet of the apostles. Why? Because that was an offering to the blessing of God for the people of the church to help people out, but also it was a covenant. Look, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. And so these people had that in their heart as well. They had a love for the world as well, and they were willing to give. They were willing to sacrifice whatever they had in order to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. It was to be laid at the feet of the apostles, and the apostles would take the offering and they would distribute it. In this story, it's the same thing in regards to the sign of the covenant. In the Old Testament, the foreskin was laid at the foot of the father, and Moses saw it there, and she was angry, and she says, "You are a husband of blood." And you know, our husband, as the church, Jesus Christ, he is a husband of blood. He shed his blood on the cross. He was the offering. You get what I'm saying? This was supposed to be done to the males, throughout all the families. And Jesus was the ultimate male. He is the second Adam. And so my point is, how does this apply to us today? You know, Moses was a man who was called by God, and he was going to walk with God, but yet God was going to take his life shortly. Why? Because so many of us today in the church as well, we claim to be following Jesus, and we claim to be saying, "Oh, hallelujah, praise God," but there is something in our life that we're not honoring God according to the scriptures of the Bible. We're dishonoring God. We may be living in a habitual lifestyle of sin. We may be struggling with something, and we keep giving into that sin and giving into that sin. And this cannot be. It's going to be either my way or his way. And we are to be children of the light. We are to allow the light of God to expose through us, to be transparent, that what you see is what you get. You know, you, Christian, sometimes you will be the only Bible people ever read. By the way you live your life, it reveals the scriptures to them. To whom much is given, much is required. There, you can fool your pastor, you can fool your spouse, you can fool your children, but you cannot fool God. And Moses could not fool God. God was saying, enough of this. But his wife saved his skin. Not only the son, but the father. The wife intervened. And sometimes God will allow people to come into your life to intervene so that you can live. And that's why the Bible says iron sharpens iron. Christian fellowship is so important because it keeps us accountable to the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, we cannot fall into that trap that we can have our life cut prematurely because we're not walking in unity with the Spirit, with the teachings of Jesus Christ. This can be a danger to those in the church. You need to hear that this morning. In Luke 11:28, it says, Jesus replied, "But even more blessed are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice." Now, Jesus says there's people that hear the word of God, but there are people who put it into practice. And Jesus says, and those who put it into practice are the ones who are blessed. Don't listen to the pastor, to the preacher. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Know the scriptures for yourself. If you're not in the word of God on a daily basis, you're spiritually starving yourself. Now, I want you to do a test today. If you're struggling with being a student of the word of God, I want you to go 24 hours without eating food. You can drink all the water you want, nothing else, just water. But no food for 24 hours. And then, I promise you, you'll start feeling the effects of being hungry. How much more if you do not read the Word of God on a daily basis? You'll spiritually starve yourself. And when you encounter trials and tribulations and temptations, and you have not been feeding spiritually on the Word of God, you fail. You fall into sin. Why? Because you've been starving yourself. It's not some secret formula. Oh, let me read the Word so I'll be covered today. No, no. You need to be in the Word. You not just get on your knees. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay, say my prayer. Oh, I'm good to go now. You need to have conversation with the Father in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. It has to be personal. It has to be real. The cross has to be real to you. The blood has to be real to you. Amen? The whip that he took, the breaking of his body, though his bones were not broken, his flesh was broken. That has to be real to you. He paid a price for you. And you need to quit crying over spilled milk and say, nobody loves me. Jesus loves you. Everyone's abandoned me. Jesus has not abandoned you. We fail each other. I get it. I understand. But Jesus is faithful all the time. And that's my job, to get you to look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Not your spouse, not your children, not your livelihood, but look at Jesus. Because we are headed into some very dark days, darker and darker than the world has ever seen before. And those who do not know Jesus will not endure. They will not last. I know what it's like to fail God. And I know what it's like to please God. And today I choose to please God. Choose today whom you will serve. No more excuses. If you fail, get back up and follow Jesus. Get back up and follow Jesus. Stop making excuses for yourself. You have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Now, I'm not talking about a name and claim it. Put your hand on a Corvette or a Mercedes-Benz in the name of Jesus. That's not what I'm talking about. Nothing wrong with that, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your every need being met. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in your life. The fruits of the Holy Spirit in your life, so that you could have victory over the devil every single day. And that you could be some kind of a testimony to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25 says this, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. And what is the law? I'm talking about what Jesus did. Jesus did. Jesus said in John 14, 15, look at this, through 18. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's the law. When you keep the law, the commandments of Jesus, it says not only that you love him, but you'll also be set free. Look, verse 25 again, James 1, 25. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free. You see that? The teachings of Jesus set you free. Back to John 14, 15 through 18. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you, Christian, you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I refuse, as myself personally, to cry like a whiny little baby, or any other Christian to cry and say, woe to me. The Lord said, I will not leave you as orphans. And when you cry and you're muddle and you're waddle and whatever it is, and you're saying, oh, but Lord, woe to me. You know what? You're doing a dishonor to the cross of Jesus. You're saying that, I don't know if I believe you, Lord. Look, either you're going to believe him or you're going to doubt him. And those who doubt him, they get left behind. Let me tell you, Satan is angry. The Bible says in Revelation 12, woe to the earth, for Satan has been cast down because he knows that his time is short. You children of God who belong to Jesus, you are up against a kingdom that will fail because Jesus has predicted it and he has said it. The kingdom of Satan has already been defeated. On the cross, he said, it is finished. But it's still at work in the world today. And instead of you being a light and saying, not my way, his way, we're saying, oh Lord, woe to me, my troubles, my this and that. And you do dishonor to the power of Jesus when you should be the spiritual armor that God has put upon you, and you're reigning in glory and in victory, and you're pushing back the gates of hell. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Where is that scripture come to pass? There's a time for mourning, there's a time for joy, there's a time for war, there's a time for peace, but there's always a time for Jesus. There's always a time for Jesus in our life. And I know we have times where we just cry and it hurts, but we have to learn to cry in victory. We have to learn to hurt in victory. Amen? Amen? This is no time for crybabies. I've said it throughout the years, and I've hurt a lot of people's feelings. But you got to hear the Holy Spirit on this. This is no time for crybabies in the kingdom of God. We have much work to do. The Bible says, work today while it is daylight, for the night will come and nobody can work. I'm telling you, I'm no prophet, but I have seen things. Because the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. If you have a desire to know what's coming, to be a warning to the people of God, then God will give you dream. God will give you vision. Because in Acts 2, he says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and they will prophesy, they will have visions, they will have dreams, men and women. And that is what the world is in need of today. Holy Spirit-filled people. And I'm not talking about just speaking in tongues and swinging from the chandeliers and pew to pew. I've been through that. But I'm talking about when you're preaching the word of God and it's piercing the heart, as Peter preached on the first day in the book of Acts, it pierced their hearts. Does your very life pierce the hearts of sinners? Or are you just judging them? Oh, you transgenderism. Oh, you homosexual. Oh, you drunkard. Oh, no, no, no. Jesus loves them. He died for them. What do you expect from those kinds of people? But I have an issue with the people in the church where they're so religious and they have such a cold heart. I've been there. But I say today, let's be at the feet of Jesus. Let's love the way Jesus said to love. Let's walk away from all man-made religion and let's get into the Word of God for ourselves. Let's get ourselves a prayer life, a life of fasting, because without praying and fasting, you cannot cast these other things out. Today it's the goats entertaining the goats in the churches, singing the songs, all this crazy stuff going on, and there's no preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I had to make a decision a long time ago. Do I want to be a pastor at a big old church? Lots going on? Or do I want to be a part of the end time church where it's going to be a lot of blood, sweat, and tears? And it'll probably end in persecution. I said, well, Lord, you showed us a life of persecution because that's what you were. The word says they persecuted you, they'll persecute us. So, Lord, I want to go your way, Lord. Because that's where life is found. That's where your throne is found, Lord. I know what it's like to please Michael, but I need to find out what it's like now to please God. You see, Adam and Eve had the same problem. They were told by God to do a certain thing. And that's all Satan ever does now. He'll just get the word twisted. It's his job. He don't care if you go to church. He don't care if you sing the songs. He don't care if you serve in ministry. He just wants the word twisted in your life. That was his job in the beginning, and that's his job now. And some of you online, I don't know, if you don't get what I'm saying, you'll hear my voice in hell for eternity. Because this is the eternal word of God. No greater honor and privilege than to speak the word of Jesus Christ. You know, this walk with Jesus has become even more real for me since my grandson came. I look at him, and it reminds me of how Jesus has always looked at us as helpless, as babes. And that's how he looks at the world today. They're helpless, they're babes, they're lost in darkness, lost in sin. He still looks at all the people of the world like that, lost. And he looks at you, Christian, like that, helpless. And that's why he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I'll be there for you. And that's why I said, we cannot be crying as Christians filled with the Spirit when something bad happens. We cannot be crying about it. We need to take it to the Lord and leave it at the Lord, and we need to keep serving the Lord. Keep praising God. Amen. Isn't that what Paul and Silas did? They were in prison in the deepest part of the jail, and in the midnight hour, they were just praising God, singing songs, and the chains broke open. People say, oh, I can't go to church. Why? Because, oh, I'm just not feeling it today. Well, that's the time to go to church. And besides, we don't worship God how about how we feel. We worship God about what the Word of God says. Because I tell you, when this final Antichrist arises, as Daniel saw and as John saw, when this final Antichrist arises, he's going to make all the Antichrists that have came in upon the world make them look like kindergartners in the class of evil. He will convince the entire world that he is God. The addiction of this. How many people walk around with this in their hand all the time? It's going to be a part of it. Artificial intelligence, technology, all of this, it's captivating the world. Adam and Eve had that problem. They knew the word, they had the word, but they couldn't keep the word. And that's why Jesus had to come, the second Adam, the second man. He made a way for us to keep the word, to hold on to the word. And that's why Jesus says, abide in me. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Amen. His commandments are life-giving. I've said it over and over. I'll say it again. The little babies, when they want to put their finger in the light socket, the wall switch. No, don't do that. They get mad and cry, but we're teaching them no, because we know better. God knows better. Sometimes we think God says, don't do this and don't do that. And we're like, oh man, I don't want to be a Christian because I'm going to have to stop doing this and stop doing that. Well, praise God. Those things bring you misery. Why do you want to keep doing those things? Right? You know, before you sin, think about how you're going to feel after you've already committed a sin and the funness of sin has already worn off. Think about how you feel miserable afterwards. Remember that? And not only that, but think about the Word of God, what I'm telling you. You need to dwell on the Word of God. Because Joseph was enticed to sleep with the wife of his master. And Joseph said, how could I do this to my father? How could I do this to my God? And he ran away. And they falsely accused him of sexually assaulting Potiphar's wife. And he had to go to jail. But God was still with him. Joseph didn't cry, oh, I'm in prison. Oh, man, what am I going to... No. He thrived. Put him in second command in the prison. eventually second command of all of Egypt. And that's why I tell you, stop crying like a little baby and know how big and great your God is. Something bad happens, start praying even more. Start walking by faith even more. Hey, we're going through a lot of hard times in our family as well, but I'm believing in Jesus that he sets people free. Amen? I'm just saying, because what the devil's about to throw to the church here real soon, your faith's going to be put to the test. And if what I say hurts your feelings, you ain't going to be able to stand against the Antichrist. In Luke 9:62, but Jesus told him, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. You cannot say, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, and keep looking back at your life of sin, what you used to do. You need to go forward. What Paul says, I press forward to what lies ahead. The Apostle Paul said, one thing I do, I forget what is behind me, and I strain forward to what lies ahead, the call in Jesus Christ. Amen? You can't look in the past. The past is the past. You cannot live off of yesterday's failures, and you cannot live off of yesterday's victories. Failures or victories. Oh, well, yeah, I used to do this 10 years ago in the church. Well, what are you doing today? Or the failure. You cannot say, oh, well, I can't do this today because I failed this day. This is a new day. This is a new time. Give God the room to move in your life. You cannot put your hand to the plow and say, I'm ready, Jesus, and let all the distractions happen. No. In Luke 14:25-32, I want to read this a little bit greater. It says, now great multitudes went with Jesus, and he turned aside and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. There's a lot. It's not saying I hate my brothers and sisters. No. What he's saying is, because God is not a God of hate. And the world would read this and say, you see, your God promotes hate. That's not what this is saying. What this is saying is, you cannot let anybody, even your brothers and sisters and mother and spouses, your spouses, you cannot let them come in between you and your walk with Jesus. You cannot. Think about all the missionaries that had to leave their wife and children to go and preach the gospel in a foreign land. Think about them. The countless untold stories that happened where they went and they lost their lives because they had to go and do a work for God. You know, Billy Graham said it greatly. He said, had it not been for his wife, Ruth, he don't know how his kids would have turned out because he was always on the go, always on the go. But Ruth, his wife, Ruth Graham, her parents were missionaries. And Ruth was actually born in China. So Ruth understood what it meant to have a spouse that was always on the call of God, on the go. And they had a really great marriage because they understood the call of God. And so, therefore, that's what I'm trying to tell you. We cannot let life get in the way of us following Jesus. Somebody said that God moved them down to this part of town for such a time as this. But then their company gave them a job offer to go somewhere else in another state. But they said, no, this is where God has me. This is where God has me. Turning down more money, better opportunity. Why? Because this is where God has him. This is what I'm talking about here. If you're going to bear the cross, you need to be willing to go his way, not your way. Verse 28 says this, for which of you intending to build a tower, a building, that's in Luke 14, yeah, verse 28, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Count the cost. Understand that it's going to cost you something in this world to follow Jesus. You understand me? It's going to cost you something. But you're going to gain so much more. You gain so much more in the name of Jesus. And the foundation that's built, that's Jesus. And if you allow Jesus, he'll bring it to a completion. Verse 31 says, "Oh, what king going to war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Count the cost. Understand that following Jesus, you're going to go to a spiritual warfare. You're going to be in warfare. You know, Satan doesn't have to attack the unbeliever. You want to know why? Because he already owns them. It's just the unbeliever living in unbelief, destroying themselves. That's all it is. When the unbeliever comes to Jesus, he's set free. But it's the Christian that Satan has declared war on. Revelation 12 says that. That he has declared war on those who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Revelation 12. And so it is you, Christian, that Satan has declared war on because he doesn't own you. And one thing he can do, because he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, he comes to take your peace, to take your joy, and to steal your salvation. You know, so much of the church is saying, well, you can't lose salvation. You know, the Baptists say, you can't lose salvation. The Pentecostals say, you can lose it, you can lose it. Oh, you cannot lose it. Once saved, always saved. Oh, you can lose it, you can lose it. You got to hold on to it. All the while, Satan will come and just take it. They're debating on whether they can lose it or not. Satan just comes and takes it. Because you give a foothold to the devil. Because you chose to do it your way and not his way. You see, what kept us from the cross of Jesus? Doing it my way. But what keeps us what allows us to come to Jesus? Doing it his way. And what's going to allow us to stay in his grace? His way. What's going to allow us to come into heaven? His way. What's going to allow us to be our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? His way. His way. His way. Stop fighting, stop trying, and start trusting. Luke 14, 34 through 35 says this. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You see, it's like a little parable, riddle. Jesus says, if you have an ear, hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you in this. God has given you a flavor. He's given you a zing in your life. You're the salt of the earth. And you're supposed to be used for the glory of God. But if you just waste away, if you just sit and on the shelf and you reach the expiration date, you're no good. You know, yesterday I was barbecuing, and it reminded me of this because I was like, "Oh, Anna, I forgot to get onion powder. Oh my goodness!" And Anna said, "There's some in the cupboard." I'm like, "No, Anna, that's bad." So what do you mean it's bad? And she got it out. She's like, "Look, it's a hard block." I'm like, "Oh my!" She goes, "No, just get your little knife." And I was there for like, and then it got all again, right? And it was funny because the Lord said, "Yeah, but this is onion powder, it's not salt." And I was like, "Okay, Lord," because I was thinking of this scripture, you know, what good is this? And the Lord said, "This is onion powder, it's not salt." Then I'm like, okay, Lord. So it's salt. What good is it if you just lose your that passion, if you lose that joy, if you lose your salvation? No, keep in his grace, his way, not your way, his way. Not your way. Amen? I want to encourage you this morning because this is the only place you're going to find encouragement in Christian fellowship, in the written word of God, and in unity and in the presence of his Holy Spirit. That's the only place you find encouragement. That's the only place. If you leave this world, leave this room today, go back out there, when you hear the news, all you hear is the murders. the violence. That's all it is, right? You open it up to the news. It's all sin, 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 corruption, lust, lust. That's all the news is. Am I right? And it just, you're like, oh my goodness. And you know, if you're open to all of that, well, guess what? That's what you're going to have in your mind. You're a sponge. You talk about a child being a sponge, absorbing whatever they hear and see. You're like that even as an adult. It doesn't end. It doesn't end. You're always going to be a sponge. So you need to be soaked and saturated in the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to learn to feed yourself spiritually. You need to learn to turn off the TV, turn off social media, and spend time alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He has some things to tell you. He has some things to give you. He has some orders for you to fulfill and to give to you. Amen. Look, we're too busy for Jesus because we're too occupied on this world and the things of this world. Arguing about who's going to be in the White House, what bills are going to be passed, arguing about our county taxes, arguing about all of this, worried about all of that. We should all just be, you know what? Whose name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because when it's all said and done, in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're not going to say, oh, are they Republican or Democrat? Did they pay their taxes or did not? You're soul winners. You're called the win souls for Jesus because you've been saved. You know how it is to save somebody through the written word of God. I'm telling you, if you call yourself a Christian today, when's the last time you led somebody to the cross of Jesus? When's the last time you told somebody the coming out of darkness and into His marvelous light? If you call yourself a Christian, may the written word of God challenge you. As the Lord says, go out and preach to all creation. The Lord has given you that command. It's His way. Your Christian life, it's not about you, it's about Him. You're dead, you died to the things of the world to be alive to Jesus Christ. My treasures are in heaven. My children that aren't here with us in the world today, they're in heaven. My daughter, my son. I think about them all the time. Loved ones, family members who've gone on to be with the Lord Jesus because they had a relationship with Jesus Christ. They were not just talking it, they walked it. That's why I'm standing here today. My grandfather who knew I was a drunk, who knew I was walking away from the pulpit for 15 years, he still loved me. And every day he saw me, that he'd see me, he would say, hey, mijo, how you doing? Oh, Grandpa, I'm doing good. Look, I bought me a brand new Dodge Ram truck. He goes, oh, that's nice, but you're still going to hell. That's what he tell me. That's nice, but you're still going to hell. When you coming back to Jesus? It's funny, he can laugh about it, but it was true. I thought, Grandpa, please stop this Jesus talk. He told me that. Grandpa, I got a new job. Good, but you're still going to hell. He would always tell me that. He would always rub it in. But he'd always come to my house and he would eat with me and he would talk to me and he never treated me bad. He loved me. He loved me. Remember one time we had a party, a New Year's Eve party, and I had all my friends coming over later that evening, but we had all the barbecue early. Because he wanted to come, and so, you know, I wasn't going to drink around him. And so we decided to play some cards. My grandpa saw that, and my grandpa wasn't always saved, okay? He used to be a hustler back in the day. You thought my grandpa was real bad. But he said, oh, I'll play with y'all. Okay, Grandpa, come on, let's see what this old man can do. When he was born in 1920, he's an old man, he was born in 1920s. So he sat down, he playing cards with us and some of my family there, and before the drinking began, he was playing there with us, and he took all our money. And then he gave it to my wife and said, here, this is for the lady of the house. He says, all right, I'm going home now, because he knew dark time was coming, he didn't want to be out. But he just loved me. And when I came to Jesus, back to Jesus a year after he died. And I know he's rejoicing because He never gave up. He always tried to, he always reminded me that I needed to get right with Jesus, but he loved me too. He still loved me. And now, why do I share that with you? Because we can be so hard-headed and want to do things our way. We can. But I had to come to a place and say, you know what? I'm tired of being tired. And as I looked in that mirror drunk that one Sunday morning, I said, I've been trying and I'm trying, and I'm tired. And the Lord said, I didn't call you to try, I called you to trust. And I could praise God for his glory. Here I am today. It's all for his glory. He saves those who are lost. He redeems those who need to be redeemed. He restores those who need to be restored. Amen. You were on your way to hell, but he said, he stepped in and he said, nope, you're going to be with me, son. I love you. I paid the price. It's his way. Look, it's about Jesus. Amen. If it's not about Jesus, it don't mean nothing else in this world. You know, it's got to be about Jesus. And you got to hear my heart on this, because there's going to be a lot of deception out there in the world today. Satan's going to throw a lot of nice things that look good, but it's got to be about Jesus. And I'm not saying get all religious and go preach to all your friends. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying live the way Jesus wants you to live, and he'll give you the words to say. He'll give you the words to speak. But it's got to be about Jesus. The movies you watch, the music you listen to, the things you eat and drink, just it's got to honor God. The kingdom of God is not about what you eat or drink, but you also can be a stumbling block in these things that you take part in. And you want to be a building block. So it's got to be about Jesus. It's got to be about Jesus. You want to encourage others. You're not perfect. You're never going to be perfect, but people will see the effort that you're given to want to be like Jesus. And at the end of your life, just tell them to put on your tombstone, just say, it's all about Jesus. It was all about Jesus, because that's it. Because when I die, I'm going to see Jesus. I would like to go right now. I'm tired. You know, I'll close with this. For 4 years, I shared with some this morning, and some of you don't know this, but for 4 years, I have been struggling with a thorn in my flesh. And it's this ringing in my ears. Constant ringing, high-pitched. Some could say, well, it's from playing music all my life. No, that's not it. High blood pressure, no. I keep up on that. I'm up on my sugar level, checking my sugar level, cholesterol, all that. I've been to the doctors, and you know the story on that I shared last week. I've been in the hospital twice because of stress. I've managed under that, gotten that under control now. I don't stress on these things no more. I know what it's like to stress. It's hospitalized me twice in 2017 and 2020. And since then, I've really been able to just really do what God would tell me to do in the physical, to take care of my body physically. But for the past 4 years, I've had this ringing in my ear. And I've always thought, man, maybe it's something tied to something physical. It is. But you know, I'm going to tell you this. Because at the same time, I had failed God. Because I wasn't listening to him. I stopped listening to him. And this ringing came into my ears. And the Lord, he's going to keep this ringing in my ears to be a reminder to always listen to him. I could listen to the physical things of this world, or I could listen to him. And every time I hear this ringing in my ear, it's all the time. The only time I don't hear is when I'm asleep. And the doctors say it's tendonitis, but they don't know what brings it on, and there's no cure. And it's ringing. And it'll drive you insane. But the Lord says, it's to remind you to listen to me. And I pleaded with God too, more than three times. Lord, please take this away from me. Please. Paul only said three times. I think I've asked him like 30, 40 times. Please take this away from me, Lord. Please, Lord. Please, Lord. Please have mercy on me, Lord. Please. I'm sorry, Lord. Please, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus. And no. And now I hear it, and it reminds me of the joy of the Lord to always listen to him, because I am a very hard-headed person. I've been a one who's always wanted things my way and not his way. And that's a learning lesson for me. And I've said it many times, if I'm not in this pulpit, I'm one of those type of Christians that I'll just fall back and just become lazy. And so God puts you in the places where he wants you because he knows he's going to hold you accountable. Amen. So stop complaining where you are. Stop and just be thankful and grow and rejoice and just follow him and do it his way. And the doors of blessing will open up to you. And not only that, it's going to open up to others because you're going to be a blessing to others. And that is what Christianity is all about. When you've come to serve others and to bless others. Not just you being blessed, but blessing others. Amen? Amen. Amen. And the world needs people like that. So choose today, my way or his way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give God praise in this house for his word. Amen. 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 Amen.